Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
If you're thinking, I should go for a run today, but it looks like it could rain, Sierra says save on epic rain jackets. If you're also thinking, but I can't go out in these beat-up old running shoes, Sierra says save on top brand running shoes. And if you're still thinking, but I'm also busy performing brain surgery, well, then we say, you really should have led with that. Sierra, let's get moving to your local store, like now. Go!
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Welcome in. The Fantasy Footballers Podcast, Mike Wright, Jason Moore, Andy Holloway. Tuesday edition of the show. NFL news, waiver wire, quarterback streamers on today's episode, and some chitter chatter about all sorts of stuff. I intentionally didn't say Monday Night Football recap.
I'm just really dragging. I'm really tired today. So trying to wake up with the music. It comes to the point and I'm like, oh, what day is it? Is it football time? And I'm like, okay, no, it's not. And then I remembered the game that I watched last night.
Which also wasn't football time.
The string of tweets of people saying, is this the worst game of all time? And, mm-hmm. And I would laugh because before I read people's tweets, I'm like, this is the worst game I've ever seen.
We all
watched it, and it was terrible.
Yeah, I mean, the winning team did not have a touchdown. That's a fact. that happened.
It was the pumpkining of Joshua Dobbs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Clock struck midnight on Dobbs.
Yeah, and it has for every team every team he's played on.
They've got to stop teaching him the playbook. He does so well. When he first comes in, has no idea what the playbook is or the names of his teammates. And then as soon as he gets plugged into the offense, it's like, it doesn't work.
And now they're talking about making a change at quarterback, whether it's Mullins or going back to the rookie. That was bad. We've had a lot of bad island game football this year. And it did seem like it kind of went faster last night.
Not for me.
Not for you?
Not for me, because I did watch it in its entirety. I am the one of the three people in America that did stick around for the whole game. I think as bad as Joshua Dobbs pumpkining, Justin Fields, I don't know exactly how much to blame him, because the play calls were clear, designed. You know, they're coming out of the huddle and they are running a screen. Every play.
Yeah, but they won't see it coming this time.
Did you see the numbers? There were four completions total between both teams beyond the line of scrimmage.
Four. I have never seen any kind of game with that many passes sideways or backwards. I can't
Which
wrap my
is
head
not
around
good
how,
football.
How you it's not good football, it's not good offense, it's not good play calling, not good play design. I don't care what you saw about the Vikings defense that's like, oh, I think we can beat him with this play. You can't just run an offense
but
where
they
you
did.
And they won. And they won.
Well, four interceptions for Josh Dobbs.
Yeah.
They didn't help matters.
Four interceptions.
One of the most ridiculous Jordan Addison plays I've ever seen. And I rewatched that clip because
you did the drop?
No, I'm talking about the sideline.
The sideline run out of bounds.
Where he had more separation from the defender than I've ever seen. Like, there was no one around him. And I watched it because at first I thought that Dobbs let him out of bounds and that was the problem, which Dobbs clearly could have thrown a better football. But it was all Jordan Addison. Like, I watched it slow-mo and, like, Addison on the sideline, instead of making the sideline catch, turns his body backwards to backpedal a ball with no awareness of the sideline, that would have been a touchdown. Like,
he mingoed?
Yeah, Jonathan Mingo did that this week too. I mean, it was tough to watch. It was 12-10. I mean, that tells you everything you need to know. Let me ask you this as sort of a quick question of the day before we get into everything. Justin Fields has played 35 games as a starting quarterback, that's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Is he going to be the quarterback of the Chicago Bears when snap one happens at the end, at the beginning of next season?
No chance. You cannot roll into the third try here. You did this already. You traded, that pick for a haul. You got a better team, and honestly, you look at the Bears, and the Bears' defense is playing better. They traded for Sweat. They're looking like a decent team, but they're still barely winning games or losing games. I don't believe that you can pass up. You're going to have the number one pick with Caleb Williams on the board. I don't believe that Justin Fields will stay a Bear.
Mike, what do you think? Because, Caleb Williams, Drake May have had poor senior seasons. The quarterback options, I don't think, like when I look at it compared to Kyler, like the Cardinals are going to have a top three pick too. I think the Cardinals should stay with Kyler. I don't think you're getting better at the quarterback position in the draft.
I think that Fields had to really, he had to play well every single game for the remainder of the season, because it's been too hot, too cold. When you open the season the way that he did, if he had played fantastic for that whole opening stretch, then got hurt, things would be different. But going into year three, not 100% sure.
Year four.
That'll be year four?
Correct.
Is year three of
this
Fields?
Is already year
three.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, when Jason said third time, I'm like, this is a fourth time.
Okay, then it's an easy decision.
You're resetting the money, too. Yeah, right? Because you're going to have to make the Daniel Jones decision on Justin Fields in a year, right?
Mm-hmm.
That would be the number one reason to move on. But
I do want to see if Fields moves on him to go to a team that wants to use his skill set, because he can throw the ball downfield decently well. He can run, obviously, as good as anybody in the league.
Screen passes, oh, baby.
He can't.
Pocket awareness has been a problem.
And there is a processing, an information processing, which people were talking about at the beginning of when he would be in the pocket and actually have a ton of time looking down the field. It's how can you be 4 seconds into this situation and nobody's open? I mean, maybe.
They're open. Maybe last night they weren't, but previous games this season, there were lots of open guys down the field. That seam route by Herbert a while back, that he just didn't even see him. It's hard to play quarterback. There's a reason we have 10 guys that can do it.
Yeah, so it's unfortunate, but I lean that's what will happen.
You both lean that way. So for Dynasty, you're kind of feeling very uncomfortable.
Yeah, you're feeling uncomfortable with Justin Fields, the security of his future. I do think he will get a job, be traded, have a team that says, yeah, we can work with Fields next year, but I don't think it'll be the Bears. Fantasy takeaway last night, my biggest takeaway was Roschon Johnson.
Yes.
Very, very involved. Ran ahead of Khalil Herbert, was involved in both the receiving game and the running game, looked good. I have been a non-believer in Roschon's ability to break into a fantasy-relevant role this season with, Deonta Foreman and Khalil Herbert ahead of him, but he was basically the start of this game.
I think there's no reason for them not to give him a go.
And he looks good.
Yeah, I mean, with a head of steam, Roschon's a pretty powerful back.
Yeah.
DJ Moore keeps performing with Justin Fields. I mean, that's the other story. 11 for 114 on 13 targets. So that was good. Hawkins had gotten to the end zone to save your day. Addison, it was disappointing. 10 targets turning into 6 for 39. The Josh Dobbs experience was not good there. And
the play calling for Minnesota was so confusing to me. I thought Madison was running pretty well. There was at least a couple just burst runs where you're like, oh, dude, Madison has some juice given the ball. And But then they would run these like stretches to the outside. That's not Madison's game. And then Ty Chandler, they'd put him up the middle. You're like, no, he's small and fast. Send him to the outside. And then they let Dobbs throw the ball 32 times when it was very, very clear early on that Dobbs should throw maybe 18 times in this game.
Yeah, it was not a good football game. No. Let's move to brighter things.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you for all who entered the Spicy Surprise Megalodon giveaway. Had a fun time doing the Megalodon show this year, and hopefully everybody enjoyed it over the Thanksgiving weekend. Congratulations. We've got three winners. We got the DK Metcalf signed jersey that went to
at Jason FFL.
No, at Stairway to Evan 17. Congratulations. Javonte Williams signed jersey went to at Kevin _.
Oh, the double underscore.
Honan. And then AJ Brown signed mini helmet went to at Ski Mask Pickens.
Nice.
So there you go. We went with the Twitter handles. And check your notifications over there, and you can claim your prize. Thank you for everyone contributing. Some spicy surprises over the Thanksgiving weekend, so it was a good time. You can follow the show over on X/Twitter, at the FF Ballers, and the community, jointhefoot.com, which is it's going strong. We also have the largest fantasy football Discord, which you can join for free at ballersdiscord.com. And join the conversation. Papa Josh in charge over there. And I will say he puts in above average effort over on
the
Discord.
That's very fair.
Mm-hmm. And
slightly below great.
Yeah, but high best for him.
Yeah.
Right.
What do they call it? Grading on a scale?
Grading
on a curve. Yeah.
We're saying he puts in above average effort for him.
Right.
Right. Okay.
Right.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Yeah. Of all the efforts he makes,
he loves
it's
Discord.
The best of them.
Yes.
And he's sitting in Deucer's Alley today. You're going to see more of Papa Josh in the coming months, unfortunately.
Yeah, sorry.
Or fortunately, if you're his kids
no.
and family.
No.
All right, into the news we go.
News and notes from around the league. Presented by USAA Insurance.
Two-thirds of Deucer's Alley have betrayed me in a trade.
Brooks, so Brooks we is, need you to step it up.
Brooks is
get the that
only,
betrayal hat on.
Darn, the deadline passed.
Yeah, The deadline's over. All right, here we go. Rashid Shaheed unlikely to play this week. I was asking Mike in the studio yesterday, like there's a chance that the Saints have no one. I mean, like Michael Thomas is on IR. Chris Olave has a concussion. Mm-hmm. I don't think he plays. And then, which, I mean, our Scotty Fish team is toast.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
We made it through to the next level of the playoffs.
We've been great all year. We have a lot of bye weeks.
I mean, no Josh Allen. I mean, this week, the bye week story and the waiver show today, like, that is a big part of the fantasy season narrative because the league decided we're going to throw a wrench onto all your rosters and make you scramble with six very, I would say, fantasy-relevant teams. On bye this week. But Rashid Shaheed's hurt.
Yeah. Michael Thomas, Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed out. I don't know what the line is on Alvin Kamara receptions.
Oh, that could save me this week.
But as soon as it comes out, you probably want to go over on that.
Yeah, and you know, the other options they have, just to throw it out there, deep leagues, Lynn Bowden Jr.
A.T. Perry.
And A.T. Perry. And I lean the Bowden side.
And Juwan.
And Juwan Johnson, who also got banged up, but is okay.
He's okay, yeah.
And Taysom Hill.
Sure.
Flexible.
They need a receiving option.
Baker Mayfield's ankle MRI came back negative. He plays Carolina. I expect him to play.
Yeah, should be good.
But if you want to follow along at home, if he doesn't, this guy over here is starting Tim Boyle at quarterback in our Dynasty League.
Well,
because Josh Allen's on a bye and Baker was my backup.
Is Kyle Trask not available?
He probably is. I shouldn't have brought this up. I could have went and looked.
That would have
been a much better solution.
I don't think you need
Let me
worry.
Take a little. I'm sure Trask is rostered by Jason. That's my bet, is that Kyle Trask.
Look, he is rostered.
I do love.
Not by Jason?
Not by Jason.
You haven't traded for him?
Brooks. Brooks has like 800 quarterbacks on his roster.
It's Troy.
Okay.
All right.
Amari Cooper's rib x-rays were negative, so we'll see if he's back out there. Amari Cooper has some small amounts of hope attached to someone else playing quarterback named Joe Flacco.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Small amounts.
I think that's a pretty heaping amount of hope. Like, if Flacco plays, yeah. If Flacco plays, I think Amari Cooper has a good game.
It's just, does Flacco have anything left?
He is a statue with both feet inside of cement.
Yeah. He didn't have anything left when he was playing for the Jets, and he was great with Garrett Wilson.
Yeah, yes. He
that was fun. That was because he threw the ball like 40 times
just
a game.
Saying, like, these guys, if he was willing to be a backup, maybe he saw this as the only – he's like, well, I can actually be a starter if I go here. But he didn't have another backup job.
Joe Flacco's – he played three games, like the first three games of last year. His pass attempts are comedic. 59.
Wow. Yeah.
44, 52.
Nice.
He managed to – and this may be a record – 3.4 fantasy points on 52 pass attempts.
Wow.
Yeah. So you want to revise your statement, Jay?
Three fumbles – two interceptions in the same game.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, add 10 points to his line right there. I'll bet Garrett Wilson was fine in that game. I'm curious now. What week was that?
That was week three. Okay, but, I'll check. Yeah, 285 passing yards and negative 10 on turnovers. Kenneth Walker, DNP.
Cool.
Seattle plays on Thursday again?
Yep.
Is that just permanent? Is that the Seattle rule? T. Higgins could play this week, Mike.
No.
Zach Taylor says, I think so.
No.
The problem is you've got Jake Browning at quarterback.
He won't. I don't know if you guys, Jeremy, I don't know do you remember the stat, but I quoted it on Sunday Live from Joe Goodberry, who's a Bengals guy locked in on Twitter, good follow. And it was T. Higgins has appeared, I think the number was 68% of the possible snaps that he could have appeared in.
66.8.
Any change of opinion? We talked about Austin Eckler and the way this season has transpired and what ends up happening in free agency. You know, T. Higgins is much younger. T. Higgins obviously has shown his potential on the football field. Like,
he'll get it deep.
Is there a better chance he goes back to Cincinnati because of the way this season has gone?
I don't think so. The free agent market for wide receivers is the exact opposite of what it is for running backs. Teams are clamoring to get a wide receiver, and there's not enough out there, so I think he probably gets a big bag from someone, even if he sits out the rest of the season. Also, as an update, week three, Garrett Wilson, last year with Joe Flacco.
Yeah.
10 targets.
Okay.
6 for 60.
Yeah.
So I would take that for Cooper.
That's what I was going to say. Amari Cooper had 6 for 60, we'd be like, okay.
The rib injury is concerning, though, because Cooper is a downfield guy. He's a jump and make a contested catch guy. I'd be a little nervous if we don't hear – like, there's probably pretty good odds it's P.J. Walker this week. So we'll keep an eye on it. We'll let you know. One more. Dallas Goedert will push to play this weekend against the 49ers.
Don't push too hard on that arm.
I won't be pushing to put him into my lineup.
This is wild.
Fractured forearm. Never went on IR. Possible to play this week. I think you have to take a wait-and-see approach.
I mean that's got to be a little fracture, right? Like a little fracture.
If it's a fracture, it's either healed or it's not, right?
I mean, healed enough, maybe with a, and then you can wear a brace or something.
What a cast! Is it going to be under a full cast?
That'd be awesome. just forearming guys.
It's like when the guys have the big ball over their hand.
I don't know, man. I've never hurt my forearm like that.
Not a doctor.
No. So we'll ask doctor friends. That was today's News and Notes presented by USAA Insurance. Learn more at usaa.com/insurance.
Welcome to the Waiver Wire, presented by Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3.
The Bears with Justin Fields and DJ Moore. The Bills with all of their weapons. The Giants, Saquon Barkley. The Raiders, Jacobs and Adams. The Ravens with Zay Flowers and Lamar Jackson. And the Vikings. No Justin Jefferson return. Dude. No Addison. No Madison. And so we get to
NFL,
we get to do the dance.
I get it. You don't care about our fantasy teams. You should care at least a little bit. We help pay your bills.
Do better
than this. Do better. This is ridiculous.
You should care about our fantasy teams.
Yeah, and
you should care because we are.
You like those big checks that you get to?
Yeah, those oversized checks we write you.
I feel like I've seen a lot of commercials of like,
yes,
AWS is running trillions of combinations to get the schedule perfect. It's like, I don't think you want to advertise that. There's been nonstop bad scheduling. Not like the bye weeks are a mess.
Yeah, their algorithms.
Prime time games suck.
Like, somebody snuck in a like screen pass only part of the algorithm.
They need a couple more trillion. Is
Bezos loaded up with teams with none of these players?
So we want to help you. We want to help you get those. This is a spot start situation. We are moving pretty much well past the kind of like stash and hope they develop situation. There is spot start waiver pickups, and then there are like, you know, insurance backs that you can add to your roster to protect yourself from injury. But when you look at spot start opportunities, the lowest rostered player anywhere near the top of our waiver rankings, which you can go to the website, thefantasyfootballers.com. We've got our waiver wire rankings every single week. But by far the lowest rostered with the highest opportunity this week seems to be the Jeff Wilson Jr. situation in Miami.
He's the number one pickup to me, and he's not a lock to be great because you could still have Devon Achane come back this week. If Devon Achane comes back, Jeff Wilson probably might not even be active
for
the
game.
He's on a bye week. He's on a bye week. You certainly can't play him even if he's active if Devon Achane is. As of right now, though, Jeff Wilson's my number one waiver pickup of the week. People need running back starts. There are not other good options. I think there are two other options that you could pick up off of the waiver wire and start this week. Jeff Wilson against the Washington Commanders got enough run last week, looked good, looked healthy. I think that he could have a very, very good fantasy week, and he's available most everywhere.
Keaton Mitchell was 9 for 64 on the ground, 2 targets. He is on the bye.
Right. He can't be a spot start.
You know, he would be a player that you stash, like maybe someone drops him because they have to, or maybe he's out there, he's 61% rostered, and then you were going into next week and you've got Brian Robinson on bye
or James
Conner on bye. We want to throw that on the radar because maybe you don't need a spot start this week. Yeah. Maybe you're the one lucky human on the earth.
If I don't need Jeff, who again comes with a tremendous amount of risk, if I don't need that, I am picking up Keaton Mitchell. Not that I expect humongous things, but he's at least trending up. His since week 9, his snap count has gone up every single week, up to 46% this past weekend in week 12. So he's the type of player that over the fantasy playoffs, he could take over. Like it is in the range of outcomes. You can't guarantee it, but it's possible. So he, assuming you don't need to pick up Jeff and start him, I'm picking up Keaton Mitchell.
The only other two players to me at running back that are pick up and play spot starts would be Ezekiel Elliott and Samaje Perine.
Yep.
Both of these guys are backups on their respective team, but they are getting enough work and they have looked good enough recently and their matchups are not the worst. Now, I will say Zeke plays against the Chargers. The Chargers recently, their run defense has looked much improved the last couple of weeks, whereas Samaje is playing against the Houston Texans, who's a very decent matchup. Which one of those two, if you're out there in a pinch, needing a running back, and it's just Zeke or
it's
Samaje, who are
Zeke
you picking up?
For me.
It would be Zeke for me as well.
Samaje scored last week, but he was down to, 27% of the snaps?
And he scored
because Javonte was currently missing the game.
Well, he came off the field because he had a neck injury for that snap.
And then he came back in. And so Zeke is...
I think Chuba, if he's somehow out there, would be in that same category for me.
Oh, man, that's really tough. I know he got a rushing touchdown, but I believe that on the course of the year, the Carolina Panthers have 3 total rushing touchdowns, including the 2 from last week.
I'm just more interested in the receiving work.
Yeah, 19 opportunities.
He has the odds of catching the same amount of passes as P. Ryan, but get more groundwork.
Such a weird thing, too, with the change at
head
coach. You just don't know, is Chuba going to be more involved, less involved?
That's why he's worth the dart throw to me, just because it's tough, man. You start Samaje Perine, I think your floor is lower with Perine than it is with Hubbard.
I agree.
But obviously the Broncos, they're 6-5 now.
Yeah, they're hot.
And they're playing well.
I think they've...
Their defense
won the most games
is playing well
in a row of anybody in the NFL right now.
Well, they started 1-5, so
they've won their last 5 games.
Yeah. Yeah, and probably Sean Payton is really exhaling with how this season has turned around.
Including Buffalo and Kansas City. I mean, crazy.
So they're second in the division then, right? Because the Chargers are below them, and then the Raiders are below them. Right? I mean, that has to be the case. So they're currently second in the division with a better record than the Buffalo Bills. The Buffalo Bills are in the 10th seed in the AFC right now.
Crazy.
What a world.
So would you drop Damian Pierce for any of those guys?
Like, no.
I don't think so. I think he fits in the same category of spot start as those guys.
I agree completely.
Maybe.
I'd drop Khalil Herbert.
Yeah, I'm okay doing that. I might drop Pierce for Keaton Mitchell, assuming I don't need Damian Pierce this week.
No, I could see
that's
that.
That's fair.
That makes sense.
If you're not looking for a spot start,
because
82% of snaps for Singletary last week.
Say there's still a lot to watch because Pierce was just coming back from his ankle injury. Was that what it was?
It was.
But before he got hurt, Singletary was already kind of starting to take the over the time share. So again, that's a number that you have to pay attention to and watch. But it was still very positive for Singletary, even though the output wasn't what you were hoping for. He was still getting the work.
Before we move on to wide receivers, I do have a surprise question for you, and it's putting you on the spot. I don't know if you'll have a name that just jumps out immediately, but I'll give you some time to think about it while I answer it myself. I've seen the question to say, you know, who's your best pick that you made this past year, and you know, some players you believed in and you took higher in the draft and they worked out. But then I've seen who was the worst pick you made. And for me,
like in our actual drafts?
In our drafts or like any draft that you've done, like who is the worst pick? And to me, my answer was Damian Pierce. Like I bought into the way the preseason looked, and you combine that with inefficiency at the top of the year with the O-line and then the injury, like Damian Pierce is by far the worst pick that I've made.
The one that has hurt me the most because I picked him everywhere was Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp was like, if he was a player where I was at times in the offseason willing to take him with the number one spot, I usually wouldn't, but it could be the fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh pick. Sometimes he'd fall, and he's never getting past me around pick 5 in the offseason. I had him in so many best ball drafts, and obviously a lot of it's been injury, but he's also had disappointing games.
It's a good answer.
Out there. He's crushed me.
Do you have a worse pick candidate, Mike?
Maybe Waller, just because of the way that like it was great.
Basically a lost season.
It was pretty good, then it was terrible, but you kept playing him, and then it was trending up, and then he got hurt. It's a lost season for Waller.
All right, quick break, back with the wideouts.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Some things may seem small at the time, but when you keep them inside, when you keep everything bottled up, you leave those emotions to fester, and they can have some serious negative consequences. I know when I was younger, you know, you don't want to always say what's on your mind. You don't want to be seen as ungrateful or insensitive or whatever, but sometimes you bottle those things up too long, and they develop into real problems. Talking things out, working through what's weighing you down, it is more helpful than you realize. And if you want a safe space for that conversation, I recommend therapy. I've had therapy. I've had practical, personal advances through therapy, whether I'm learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries personally, how to make better habits in my life. There's a lot of benefit, and you can give BetterHelp a try if you've been thinking of starting therapy. It's entirely online. It's convenient and flexible. It's also easy to get started. You just fill out one brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/footballers to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/footballers.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
I'm not sure you needed us to say it, but there are some like insurance backs. Elijah Mitchell, D'Ernest Johnson seems to be getting a lot of opportunity behind ETN. Rico Dowdle for Tony Pollard, and then Zach Moss back into the workflow, you know?
I think before we move on to wide receivers.
Oh, because we have some breaking news here.
Okay.
Colts running back Jonathan Taylor, fresh off, this is from Rappaport. He suffered an injured thumb that is requiring further evaluation and puts his status.
Is that why we didn't see a lot of him?
Puts his status in doubt.
Going forward.
New number one waiver wire pickup. Yeah, Zach,
hold on. Deucer's Alley cam, please.
Zach.
Deucer's Alley camera. Who's got his head in his hands? Is it one of the betrayers?
Papa Josh.
Is it one of the betrayers?
Yes.
All right, splice this at the
betrayer.
Front. Number one pickup of the week, Zach Moss.
Yeah, I mean, it really is.
He's available in
half the leagues.
Shout out to Matthew Betts for tossing that breaking news into the equation. This was,
So it's funny.
And that matchup is Tennessee this week.
Yeah, it's not great for running backs, but they've been a little bit looser on the ground. I was just about to bring up conceptually, kind of like what Mike was talking about. If you had someone like Damian Pierce on your roster and he is a bench player, would you drop Damian Pierce for someone like Elijah Mitchell, or I was going to bring up Zach Moss? Like these guys were, because I think if Devin Singletary went down, I'm not convinced that Pierce would be better than if Christian McCaffrey went down and Elijah Mitchell got the start.
I think it's a fair question.
Yeah, that's definitely fair. Mitchell would be better.
It feels
than Damian
weird
Pierce
at this
be.
Point to drop a player who's getting work like Damian Pierce for someone that's just a backup, but it might be the right strategy at this point in the season.
It would be the right strategy. The only situation where it's not is that, like, Pierce is an emergency player you can put into your lineup. Mitchell isn't. Maybe Mitchell would still be that, but I would be looking at my roster and saying, do I have two running backs and then Pierce?
Right.
Or do I have like three or four running backs and then Pierce? And then it's a completely different equation.
Correct.
If I have at least one other running back pivot option, I think that's the right move. I think that's the smartest move. That's the league winning move, because Mitchell would win you the league.
Yeah, but I agree with you. Don't assume you have depth just because he's the first guy on your bench.
So we left the running backs.
Well, and the last, because I just remembered it, but there was I think it was Vrabel, someone from the Titans was saying we're still trying to figure out how to get Tajay Spears more involved. Who knows if that materializes, but they're at least talking about it.
Oh, that's a really weird statement after giving a guy two carries.
I agree. So
like,
maybe
to me it's he's off my list of pickups.
Maybe that was the context of like why did Spears plummet in work when he'd been doing well? So
the matchup this week is so good for Derrick Henry.
Yeah. It is.
I mean, it's the best running back matchup you can find, pretty much. Right?
On the course of the season, they're 26th.
Yeah, but look over the last, like, handful of weeks. I thought they were much worse than that. But
they're definitely a team to target, them being the Indianapolis Colts.
So, yeah, so the breaking news ends up kind of usurping the running back segment entirely, where, you know, Wilson, Mitchell, Zeke is a spot start, but, like, Zach Moss is the number one pickup. And follow this news through the end of the day. Mm-hmm. I'll say that, because if we find out that it's something
he's gonna
manage, then Moss is not worth a huge fab drop. But this is why you save some of your fab moments like this, because Zach Moss will dominate if he gets all the work. We've seen it already.
Yeah, it's tried, true, delivered.
Wide receiver pickups
until the PED pop.
Until Zach Moss PED. Oh, you got to have an explanation for this.
I got to have one last jab.
There's got to be some reason he's doing this, huh?
Year four?
Well, it's his system. He needs to get in the right system.
I guess so.
He's played so good.
He's played so good. He's certainly made me eat crow.
It's comedic,
it's
man.
It's crazy, because he sucked for 3 years and then was the best running back ever.
All right, wide receiver waiver wire pickups. I'm gonna let you guys segment this. 50% rostered or higher group, and then 50% rostered or lower group. So in the higher group, you know, you had the breakout performance from Rashee Rice. First double-digit target game of his entire career. You know, Kadarius Toney, gone. Mecole Hardman, IR. It was huge for Rashee Rice, and they got him involved, 8 for 107 and a touchdown. What is your confidence level right now? Because obviously Tony could return. The ball gets distributed everywhere. Predictability has been a problem in that offense. Like,
the nice thing
is, does this performance change your perspective at all?
It does a little bit because of the combination of Kadarius Toney and McCole Hardman being out. And then you saw MVS kind of used in a different way where he wasn't just the every down type of player.
What was his snap count?
53%.
Oh, beautiful.
And so
MVS was down at 53.
You're figuring, so I'll double check figuring it out, Kansas City.
Was he tired?
53%, yeah.
Marquez Valdez sit him.
Did you guys catch the I think it was the All-22, you can see it, but the Rice touchdown?
I have not seen the All-22 of it.
MVS is like 15 yards further down the field and wide open. Maybe Mahomes saw him, maybe he didn't, but it was like,
I know which player can catch this ball.
So Rashee Rice is heavily rostered, has Green Bay, Buffalo, New England. Christian Watson had a good performance, 5 for 94 and a touchdown. It was against Detroit, which is you can target Detroit's passing game. This week, a lot tougher. I mean, Christian Watson should be getting a lot of snead this week, which is concerning.
It leads me to almost prefer Jaden Reed, who is more widely available. He has also been very, very good. Jaden Reed has been, you know, Andy, you've said for about a month that you thought Jaden Reed was the best wide receiver in that room, and I think they've got a really young, talented wide receiver room with Christian Watson and Dobbs and Reed and others. I mean,
Wicks.
Yeah, Wicks and Musgrave, if he was healthy. But you've got a stretch run here for Jaden Reed since the bye week in week 6, where he's pretty much been a relevant fantasy player all but 1 week. I think if they were both there, I mean, it depends on what you're going for, right? Like, the ceiling is higher on a Christian Watson ceiling game, but I feel like the consistency is much more on Jaden Reed's side. I might, if both of those guys were out there, I'd prioritize Reed.
Because of the Snead matchup for Watson, or in general?
The Snead matchup for Watson this week, and in general, I think he's just the more consistent player.
It's too bad we don't get a Snead on Reed situation.
That is.
Right?
You could have a whole Dr. Seuss book about it.
Right. Brandon Cooks. I love targeting Brandon Cooks right now, the way this offense is cruising. 4 for 72 and 1. Like, there are, I mean, of all the players that can put up 150+, you know, Brandon Cooks is in that category, and 64% rostered. So that those are kind of four names out of the 50% and above. Beckham is also in that group of, like,
yeah,
you know, if the other guys are gone and Beckham's there, then you could look his way, but
it's gone back and forth for Brandon Cooks. He's had like a dud game, then a big game, then a dud game, then a big game. But he, you know, since week 6, he's had four big games, you know, double digit fantasy points and half point scoring. One of them, 27.8 points, big blow up performance. We've talked about Dak's schedule the rest of the way. Well, that obviously goes to the wide receivers as well. So Brandon Cooks, to me, if he's out there, might be the best pickup of everyone mentioned.
Yeah, that's I think that's how I ranked it, or very close to that. I want to bring Curtis Samuel's name up. Under 50% rostered. He was hurt. He got dropped by a lot of people. He does have a bye week coming up the week after this week. But 12 targets. Every time I was watching this game, I felt like he was catching a pass. I mean, it was like,
yeah,
it was nonstop. He was 9 for 100. If you're in a PPR league, especially.
Full PPR certainly helps, but man alive, I just feel like we're at the point where I need to know what I'm putting in my roster to the best of my knowledge. And if you tell me that Curtis Samuel gets 10 targets and Jahan Dotson gets 1 next week, or you tell me Curtis Samuel gets 1 and Jahan Dotson gets 10, or it's a Logan Thomas game, or Gibson and Robinson end up with 12 combined targets, like every week. You know Sam Howell's throwing it a ton. And against Miami, he's going to throw it even more. He's going to drop back 45 times. So Curtis Samuel is a fine play, but you just can't.
He's not really been the one omitted. Oh, yeah. I'm going to convince you. I'm going to convince you right now.
Okay.
I know how to do it.
All right.
Because I'm gonna read names that are in the under 50% category that you could choose to spot start instead of Curtis Samuel, and you're going to say no to all of them.
Okay. Curtis Samuel against Miami, or
Demario Douglas with the concussion.
Curtis Samuel.
Okay, Jalen Hyatt.
Keanu.
On bye. Oh, he's on bye.
Yeah.
See, he told you. Justin Watson, who had three targets and was 1 for 3 and a touchdown.
He did run a lot of routes against Green Bay. I'm going to
go ahead and say that. Go do it.
Curtis Samuel.
A.T. Perry, Greg Dortch, Noah Brown, who's inactive. Don't know if he's coming back. Guyton. Give me another. I mean, Lynn Bowden stepping in.
I would say Greg Dortch might be worth considering. The last 2 weeks, 8 targets, 9 targets, both with Kyler.
You need Michael Wilson out, though.
Right, but Michael Wilson, he didn't even practice once last week after the re-aggravation. So, I mean, it's too early to know for sure, but I presume he is going to continue to be out.
Curtis Samuel, in games where he's had good snap counts, has been all right. I mean, I wouldn't go Dortch, but maybe you could Dortch it.
Yeah, I don't feel good about any of them. Hope Brandon Cooks out there.
Yeah, I mean, it feels top heavy at the wide receiver position. What did you make of the Deontay Johnson play? Because, I mean, he's in the drop candidates. But by the way, Brooks.
The fumble play?
Yeah, Brooks finds. When I mention drop candidates, these are names straight from Twitter. These are names people are actually thinking about dropping. So don't. Hopefully you don't find it too outlandish, because these are real names people are considering. Deontay Johnson's on that list. And, yeah, I'm talking about the fumble play where he basically, like, obviously the play didn't involve him. It was going to be a running play. He didn't engage the defender. Then a fumble happens. He didn't even care.
Seemed like
he got in a fight with Minka Fitzpatrick in the locker room.
Yeah. I would have to watch it again, but my memory is I think he was so disengaged from the play he didn't even notice.
He didn't. Like,
That's the indictment, though.
Yeah, indictment is it was a run play, so he just stood there. Like, the ball was snapped and he didn't move. It was like, you just don't see NFL players do that.
Yeah, it's a really
is
bad
he
look.
On? He got paid.
He got like a mini,
little baby deal,
a mini extension. Yeah.
Okay.
But okay. But 4 for 50. I mean, that's not full sabotage of a flex spot, and the way that their offense was just so much better, and they're playing Arizona. I would not drop Deontay.
Yeah, if you said, do I have to start Curtis Samuel or Deontay Johnson? I would start Deontay Johnson for sure.
The wide receiver 39 on the season. Last 4 weeks, 75, 37, 41, 57.
I needed to move on.
Chris Godwin.
I needed to move on so long ago. I kept looking at the targets, 7 targets, 12 targets, 7 targets. Last 2 weeks, 7 targets, 7 targets. That should be good.
He's on pace for 80. Receptions, 936 yards and 1.5 touchdowns.
He was 1 foot from a touchdown.
Last week, 6 fantasy points. The week before, 6.9 fantasy points. Not very nice. The week before, 7.4 fantasy points. The week before, 2.6 fantasy points. I mean, Chris Godwin has been a targeted, irrelevant player.
It's crazy. I mean, he played so in his last how many
these
games
were
this
good
year?
Matchups for him.
In his last 14 games, 1 touchdown.
I think I want to look elsewhere.
Higgins, are you dropping Higgins? You're not getting Burrow back.
Yeah,
you're dealing with injury.
I think you can.
Yeah, I would drop T. Higgins.
How will that feel, Mike?
A great sense of relief. He's still on my roster, technically speaking, in the league of record. And me and Kyle were running through some scenarios where we're like, well, if we do this, you realize we have to keep T. Higgins. And Kyle's,
in different scenarios of who you would be keeping?
Yeah, and Kyle's just like, no. And I'm like, well, hold on, he's a free agent. What if, because this is in the world of free agents, you get to play the game, what if? What if T. Higgins goes to the Kansas City Chiefs?
I've seen that name brought up a lot.
Yeah.
It legitimately could happen.
It should happen if you're the Chiefs.
Yes. And then what do you do if you've been experienced 2 full years of T. Higgins' pain?
I was going to say, your story with T. Higgins, the diary entries you must have.
Dude, because I still believe he's a great player. He just is hurt all the time.
Yeah, and eventually the clock runs out on those guys.
Yes.
But, I mean, he's young enough to where, I don't know, you're going into next season, like we did the dance with McCaffrey's injury history, right?
Uh-huh.
And then we did the dance. Uh-huh. We're going to do the dance with Cooper Kupp next year because of the injury history and the situation at quarterback. And T. Higgins is going to be in that discussion of, like, you bet and you either win or you really lose. I mean,
it feels so much worse. I mean, one, he's been on my main roster for the past two and whatever years, and I have caped for him so many times on this podcast, and he just makes me look the fool every time. You gotta stop doing this to me, T. Come on, I'm on your side.
Yeah, we were working on building Mike's ultimate roster this past weekend of like players that he's been fans of, like AJ Dillon starting at running back for him.
Sure.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Yeah.
He actually started at running back this past week.
And almost had a touchdown. Yeah. I thought he did have a touchdown.
He had two attempts.
When I saw the play, and I saw what I believe, I saw
a touchdown,
Clyde Edwards-Helaire get into the end zone, I went, are you kidding me? Mike started him and he got a touchdown?
He was screaming, crazy like a fox! Crazy like a fox!
But instead it was a
terrible play. What is going on with coaches refusing to review touchdowns this year?
It is frustrating.
I feel like I've seen at least five where it's like, that's a clear touchdown.
Yes.
Now, the Chiefs, they got theirs. Pacheco got right in. They took it away from Clyde.
They gave Clyde another chance. He didn't do it. Another chance. He didn't do it. Then Pacheco got right in.
We've seen plays where they get in. You're like, but they run up. Like, we'll catch them off guard. Maybe we got it. And you clearly got in. If you would just take a moment and look at the review, you got in. And then they kick a field goal.
Or worse, they turn the ball over.
You get two challenges per game, right?
Yeah, or possibly three.
And if you lost a timeout, you would have lost it in the first half.
Right.
Of a lot of these games.
It's so bizarre. It feels egregious this year.
One more drop candidate that's come up. Well, actually, two more. But one more that I want to discuss the kind of this season about. We're talking about the JSN catch. It was an amazing catch.
Sure.
Obviously, there's challenges for JSN this year with Lockett and Metcalf and Geno. People were asking on Twitter, you know, is JSN about to be a league winner?
No.
I was like, not this year. But are you willing to drop him? I mean, I'm willing if there's certain players.
Weeks, yeah, if you need a start. Right now he's going up against Dallas this week, which is as bad as it gets. And then San Francisco the next week. Both of those are on the road. He literally just is coming off of a game against San Francisco where they were at home and they put up 13 total points. He scored 5 fantasy points. So you're not starting him for the next 2 weeks. If he's a league winner, you're talking about only in fantasy playoffs when you're going to start him without ever having him had like a breakout game.
Cooper Kupp. You don't drop Cooper.
No, that's
silly.
No. Him. Do you play him is the question.
Probably.
Which we will get to later.
We'll get to it later. Why decide now?
Yeah.
Oh man,
push that pain to the sides.
Cleveland.
Is Denzel Ward going to be back?
I don't know. I think so. The way that it seemed, the way that they were talking about him, he would be.
All right, tight end waiver wire pickups. Pat Freiermuth takes the cake this week. Seeing the integration into the, you know, offense, the throws to the middle of the field. Pat Freiermuth of the Steelers, 9 for 120 last week. 48% rostered.
You got to go get him.
You got to go get him.
He was out in the middle of the field. He was actually the utilization and how they used him lined up in the slot was very, very different than during the Matt Canada era. So this is a schematic change that is really great for Pat Freiermuth. He plays Arizona this week. Arizona started the year pretty solid against tight ends. They've kind of given it up a little bit. I mean, Tyler Higbee just got 2 touchdowns against them this last week. So he's the clear number one tight end pickup. He might be the number one pickup of across all positions. If he's out there, which he's out there in more than half of leagues, according to Yahoo data, this is a must pickup.
And I am especially – like if maybe you have to burn a priority or whatever to get a spot start. I'm picking up the Muth. I don't know that the Muth is going to – you know, continue to be great, but we know he's a good player, and if the scheme is built for him, he will succeed. But I'm picking up the Muth to block. Like, I don't want anyone else in my league
who needs a tight end
to get the Muth. So I will put him on the back of my bench and say, you don't get to play him.
Yeah, I was really sad to see my opponent this week had the Muth on his bench. I was like, oh, daggummit.
Well, the reason why you pick up the block is because there aren't guarantees elsewhere.
Correct.
Everyone else you pick up, you're playing roulette, and You know, people are going to chase Tyler Higbee's two touchdowns. That's dumb.
Yeah.
That's dumb because now you're chasing. Now you're saying, Tyler Higbee, have two consecutive good games. The odds of that
probably not
are
gonna
not
happen.
Very good.
Certainly then, not against Cleveland.
You know, Gerald Everett, I mean, he splits time, and he got into the end zone, but that was a grotesque game to watch. I mean, Kate Otten, at least he plays 100% of snaps. That's my Kate Otten argument.
We brought his name up earlier, Mike did, but Juwan Johnson would be the second best tight end pickup to me. So long as you're looking for a start, because Isaiah Likely might still be better, but Isaiah Likely's on bye. Juwan Johnson, we brought up. There's no one to throw the ball to.
He saw 20% of the targets.
Seven targets this last week. I know he was banged up a little bit, but I believe he's good to go health-wise. And if he's good to go and no other wide receivers are, he will get utilized a lot. I mean, any kind of PPR leagues, he should have five receptions. And if you're telling me I can bank on my tight end having five receptions, that's good enough for me off the waiver wire.
Okay. Anybody else want to talk about a tight end?
I mean, the last, like, the deepest of the deepest of deep leagues is Tucker Kraft.
Deepest of the deepest of the deep.
I just want to make sure, like, I'm not.
Jules Verne wrote about him.
Yes, he did. There's monsters and giant squids. But Tucker Kraft, he caught a touchdown for the Packers, and the latest we have heard on
Musgrave
is that he's probably done for the season.
Defensive questions. There are a bunch of names. You know, you're trying to plan ahead a little bit. If your roster can support it, it's hard to do that. In a week when you have six byes, it's hard to hold multiple defenses when you would like to, including, like, the Baltimore defense is a great defense, but they are...
I'll probably still hold them.
Yeah, I'll hold the Ravens.
They are on bye.
Yep.
I would not touch them for two-thirds of the fantasy playoffs.
Two-thirds?
Yes. I would not play them against San Francisco, and I would not play them against Miami.
Okay.
Because Miami is too explosive, too much danger. Like, I feel like I can find a mediocre defense playing a garbage Carolina, garbage Jets, garbage Giants.
I think you'll have time before you get there. But, like, I don't. As of right now, I wouldn't be scared to play the Ravens against Tua.
I wouldn't.
That's
either.
Interesting.
But I
That's
do.
A different take than what I would have expected.
Yeah, I mean, Tua, the Dolphins have given up more fantasy points to opposing defenses than their average. So, like, they're not, even though they're an explosive offense, they've turned the ball over enough or taken enough sacks where for fantasy it's been
okay.
Is
that game in Miami or is it in Baltimore?
I believe that's in Baltimore.
That makes
in
a Baltimore. Huge
yeah,
difference.
It's in Baltimore.
The Bills' defense, which is one that's going on bye, punt them off a bridge.
Yeah, I can move on.
Because they're on bye. Then they come back against Kansas City. You're not going to play them. Then they play against Dallas. No, thank you. Then they play against the Chargers. Probably not. And the Bills' defense hasn't, you know, it's been wrecked with injuries. So they shouldn't be rostered anymore.
Yeah, it's Baltimore's defense is the number two defense in the league right
now.
Yeah,
they've been great.
So, all right, options for this week. Who are your top options?
The top options are usually, you know, you want to play them, you want to play the matchups. So the Jacksonville Jaguars are going up against Browning at home, the Cincinnati Bengals, and the Jaguars have been a good defense. So, like, the Falcons and the Buccaneers are also good pickups.
Can they cover the tip pass? as long as they can shut that down, then they're going to be great.
Yeah, so the way that I sort mine, I've got Jacksonville number one against Cincinnati at home. And then number two, I've got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers because I think they are a decent defense. They're playing against Bryce Young and a coachless team in Carolina at home. And then the Falcons play the Jets. And
they
Boyle. You want to play against Boyle. And the Falcons are widely available. They're available in 90% of leagues. So there should be some bidding on them if those other guys aren't available.
Mike, any other thoughts?
We'll just add in that the Jaguars, they play, it's on the road the following week, but they get Cleveland. So it's either one of those three quarterbacks that we've talked about for the Browns, and none of them should be scary.
One other defense I'll throw out there, the Chargers have been much better on defense recently. I think they've cured some of their ails, and they're playing against New England. And they, so far, New England has loved throwing the ball to the other team.
Did we mention the Rams yet?
No.
Okay, so Rams play Cleveland this week. Even if it's Flacco's first start, I would be happy to play the Rams against them. Baltimore, you're going to want to dodge that. But then you get Washington at home.
That's the first week of the playoffs.
Of the playoffs. The second week, you get the Saints at home. And then you get Tommy DeVito on the road. So the Rams, aside from week 14, have a pretty solid run coming up.
That Saints defense playing the Panthers, playing the Giants, being under 50% rostered is delightful as well for upcoming matchups.
Yeah, a lot of good options.
Today's Waiver Wire was brought to you by Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3. Face off against the ultimate threat in single player. Settle old scores on 16 iconic maps in multiplayer and survive the hordes in a co-op open world zombie experience. Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3, available now, rated M for mature.
Full stream ahead.
Well, you guys have two streaming quarterback options I like a lot more than my risky option. So I'm going to let you go first.
Well, then Mike should go first because this is who I wanted to put in, but you got to the dock first.
I will jump in. The Broncos defense has been playing much better. The offense has been good enough to win the games. But now we get to play Houston, and it's Russell Wilson, Texans. They rank as 29th in schedule-adjusted points to the quarterback. Houston allows the third-highest completion rate in the NFL, and we're looking at a 46.5-point over-under. That's tied for the second-highest of the week right now. I think that if you're in a pinch, which there's a lot of people in a pinch this week, Russ should be a solid play.
I'm going to go with Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield this week plays at home against the Carolina Panthers. Maybe they'll be all juiced up from their coach being fired, but this is actually not one of those situations where, like with the Raiders, I don't think anyone on the team liked their coach, and they were like celebrating that he was gone. This was like everyone loved Frank Reich. They're sad that he's gone. This doesn't seem like a motivational push forward. This seems like a dysfunctional team that is, you know, going to give the number one pick to the Chicago Bears. But Baker's been pretty good, man. He's got four of his last six starts are actually top 12 quarterback finishes. And I don't know if you remember.
Oh, I do.
Yeah, you do. Because champ, champ, champ. Mike Evans went off last time he played Carolina for three touchdowns in week 17 last year, won people championships. And Mike Evans is Baker's number one guy.
He's his favorite guy.
Mike Evans has been so good. He is
also Mike Evans start of the week.
Oh, is he?
No.
Okay. Now Mike Evans has been a lock all season long, and it's crazy because I saw this and I wish I could give credit because I don't remember what I saw it on a reel or something, but like if you look at the numbers between Mike Evans and Davante Adams over the last handful of years, they're basically identical, and everybody looks at Davante Adams as this, you know, as one of the top five, top three talents at the wide receiver position. And here Mike Evans is putting up the same numbers.
Darn right he is.
Every single year. And like cumulatively. He's been doing the same stuff. By the way, I formally withdraw my full stream ahead candidate. I'm leaving it.
No.
We're leaving it at two. Look, okay. The name was Gardner Minshew because of the matchup. Gardner Minshew is not going to be good enough. He's not. He's not going to be good enough. He hasn't had a two touchdown game in the last in the last three starts. Look, the matchup's nice against Tennessee, but he is as risky as super deep leagues. If Baker and Russ are not there, you can put Gardner in. You can pray.
Would you go Gardner, or would you go the resurging Kenny Pickett against the Arizona Cardinals?
Pickett. Yeah, that's why I'm withdrawing. I'll switch it. I'll switch it to Pickett.
All right.
A Pickett switch. Live on the show. That is it. That is it for the streaming quarterback candidates. We got Hungry for More Thursday night preview and mailbag tomorrow. Starts of the week, matchup previews coming on Thursday, and more matchups in the Fantasy Faceoff. And Mike spinning that delightful wheel again on Friday. Shout out to the Deucers over there in Deucers Alley. Thank you very much for taking care of business today. Al Borland, Judge Giamatti, Papa Josh, and his Jonathan Taylor shares. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.